Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important and to the largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's political and religious institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and they cannot be fixed. Today, in our second hour, we're going to have sports in the news, and in the third, we're going to turn our attention to the first letter Paul wrote, the one to the Galatians, to demonstrate that he was a false prophet. I'd like to begin where we were yesterday in terms of our review of the international happenings. I am disturbed by the schizophrenic nature of American foreign policy. Now, the dateline is Cairo. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, had a conniption fit in the middle of one of the interviews that he was conducting yesterday when he was in Washington. And when Israel bombed a facility that was being used to control tunnel access into storage facilities for bombs and rockets and rocket launchers, he had a conniption. And he just said, this is not the kind of pinpoint response that Israel had claimed they were conducting. I need to go. We need to stop this. He is such a fool. He is so anti-Semitic. So now he is in Cairo. Can you imagine the United States? It used to be a moral country. Moral countries wouldn't go and negotiate with, wouldn't go beg, wouldn't go plead with military juntas. But that's what the United States is doing. Yeah, we're in Cairo where a thug, one trained, by the way, in the United States, Sisi, has not only taken over power, but he has seen to it that anyone who opposes him is in jail and destined to die. This is a country where the Christian cop population was wooed to justify the coup, the military coup, and then has been abandoned to be kidnapped, to be raped, and to have all their churches destroyed. The United States hasn't spoken out against any of that. No, the overthrow of the only actually legitimately elected government, which was the Muslim Brotherhood, which tells you that most Muslims are fundamentalist and that there is no such thing as moderate Islam. That the government that perpetrated all of that is now where Kerry is negotiating with them. Now, mind you, the United States is responsible for the military's ability to rape that country of any pretense of freedom, because we supply billions of dollars a year in military hardware. In fact, the American contribution covers something in the range of 80% of the cost of the Egyptian military. And there he sits. Oh, yes, the man who had a conniption fit over Israel's defense of itself is now in Egypt pleading with the Egyptians to intervene. So stupid that he doesn't seem to realize that Egypt no longer has a voice. The Hamas leadership recognizes that Sisi is their enemy. He has literally destroyed the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. He has made it illegal. He has confiscated all of their offices. He has confiscated all of their funds. He has declared the party illegal. And he has sought out and imprisoned all of its operatives, all of its leadership, and convicted them to die. Hamas is part and parcel of the Muslim Brotherhood. And so Egypt, this military junta, has absolutely no influence of any kind with Hamas. I mean, all they have is they have some de minimis control over a border crossing from Sinai into Gaza. But even then, it's almost non-existent because the Egyptian government has given up trying to control the Sinai. It is now nothing but a wasteland of Islamic jihadists. They have no influence. So what in the world is Kerry doing there? They've already submitted one peace proposal, a truce, a ceasefire, and Hamas rejected it because Hamas is rejecting Egypt. Oh, and then the moral bastion of freedom and democracy, John Lurch Kerry, says, well, maybe what we ought to do is just propose the same ceasefire that Hamas last agreed to in 2012. So, amnesia. We don't seem to be able, as Americans anymore, to remember our mistakes. Yes, the United States brokered that deal through the Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't exist anymore. We can't use them. After you even speak on behalf of the Muslim Brotherhood, you try to meet with them, the military junta in Egypt will throw your sorry behind in jail. But what happened with the 2012 peace treaty, truce, between Israel and Hamas? It was fairly simple. Hamas agreed that they would stop firing rockets into Israel. And Israel said, well, that's all that we were in Gaza to stop. So if they agree to stop shooting rockets into Israel, we'll withdraw. Well, what started this confrontation? Was it not the day that Hamas fired 50 rockets into Israel? And then after those 50 rockets, 50 more, and then 50 more, just in the last 2 days, Israel has been besieged with 2,000 rockets and mortars launched from Gaza into Israel with the express intent of killing Israeli civilians. The fact they can't aim should not be afforded in their favor. So if Hamas agreed that they would not fire any more rockets in 2012, and now in 2014 they're back firing rockets, why would you, if you're a moral individual, if you have a shred of logic in your brain, if you are the least bit informed, why would you propose such a deal? The last time it was Welch done. When will America learn, its government learn, that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior? When will America learn that if you want to understand how people are going to respond, look at how they have responded? If you want to understand a religious organization, read their text. What does the ninth surah of the Quran say about agreements between Muslims and non-Muslims? Have you ever considered reading it, Mr. Kerry? Does it not begin that by saying that a treaty between Muslims and non-Muslims is not binding on the Muslims? When you recognize that Islam has made it lawful to form treaties with non-Muslims and then renege on them to make their victims easier prey, why would you ever negotiate any kind of peace treaty, any kind of truce with a Muslim? You out of your mind? Are you ignorant? Are you immoral? It is amazing that that the West will say, well, you know, they have a legitimate ability to defend themselves, so long as they don't act on it. They say, well, you know, but the death of innocent civilians is intolerable. There hasn't been one innocent civilian that's been killed. Oh, you say, but what about the two-year-old babies that have been killed and the five-year-olds and the little girls and the women? They're not combatants. How could you say there's not a single civilian, innocent civilian that's been killed? Because there hasn't been one. Not one. Not one. The reason is straightforward. You look at this, the worst of the attacks, it was really simple. Israel went into the, before Israel even went towards the town where Muslims were firing rockets. Now, they're firing rockets from the town, not from open spaces, because they wanted Israel to retaliate against the rocket launchers, which Israel must do, and to have civilians killed in the process. That's why they fired the rockets from a town, as opposed to firing the rockets from an area that was uninhabited. So whose fault is that? Israel's or Hamas? Now, beyond that, before Israel went to deal with these rockets and the underground facilities that typically have their entrance under apartment buildings to store the rocket launchers and to store the rockets and to store bombs and other material for conducting war against Israel, Israel announced by leaflets in Arabic to the entire community and said, because this has been used, this community is being used to launch rockets into Israel, and it has a substantial network of underground tunnels which are being used to store and to build weapons, we have no choice but to go into this community and to rid it of those capabilities. We not only want you to leave, we're not only encouraging you to leave, but we're going to tell you where you can go that you will absolutely be safe from harm's way. In addition to dropping the leaflets, then Israel sent a text message to every cell phone owner in that community, telling them the same thing. In addition to that, Israel called everyone who had a cell phone registered in that community to tell them the same thing. Then Israel fired warning shots and saying, we're coming. Now, no country in the history of humanity has ever been that aggressive trying to protect civilians from harm. If a Muslim woman or child remained in that community, it is because they were ordered to remain by the Muslims for the express purpose of dying for the cause, of making the newsreels, of making it look like Israel was being butcherous. If they died, they were not innocent. They were complicit. Something to think about for those of you who are rational. Keen on behalf of Obama Nation, John Lurch Carey said, our goal is to achieve a cessation of hostilities as soon as possible. You know, it's interesting. I've never heard John Kerry say, our goal is to achieve an eradication of Hamas, a terrorist organization. Never heard him say that. I've never heard John Kerry or Obama Nation say, our goal is to stop Hamas from ever being able to fire a rocket, another rocket, into Israel. Never heard him say that. Never heard him say, you know, our goal is to convince Muslims to accept Israel and to stop wanting to eradicate the Israeli state. Didn't hear him say that either. I don't even hear him say, you know, our goal is to explain why Muslims act like terrorists. Our goal is to explain why Muslims perpetrate 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts. He didn't say our goal is to completely disassociate ourselves from Hamas because they're thugs, because they're terrorists, because they're mass murderers. No, the United States has no intention whatsoever to be right, to be moral. Then Kerry says the Egyptians are playing the leading role in this effort. The Egyptians have no capacity whatsoever to play a leading role in this effort. They are thugs themselves. They came to power on a military coup. They have repressed all freedoms. They're allowing the mass annihilation of the Copt Christians. Why would you jump in bed with the devil? You know, the devil, I'm sure, is quite easy to negotiate with. They'll give you whatever you want. Why would you do it? He went on to say, but we are willing to engage with anybody who we think can achieve that. In the United States, we don't care who we work with. We'd work with Satan himself if he could have an influence. What happened to the United States? What happened to a people once proud and independent, freedom-loving? What happened to a nation that was once considered moral? We'll work with anybody. You know, what's so amazing here is that the president of Obamanation, the head of Obamanation, came out on the Rose Garden and said that we just have to have an end to the innocent deaths of civilians. No statement about we have to have an end to suicide bombers. No statement about we need to have an end to kidnapping and murder by Hamas. No statement about we just have to have an end of this Islamic regime firing thousands of rockets a day into Israel for the express purpose of killing Israelis. Can you imagine what would have happened if Israel had stood on its soapbox to tell the United States when Bush invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, where civilians were dying by the tens of thousands, then the hundreds of thousands, that, you know, we need to engage the leaders of the world to put an end to these civilian casualties that are being perpetrated by the United States' invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. How can we, as a nation who has caused hundreds of thousands of civilian casualties, when we invaded a nation that had absolutely nothing to do with harming the United States, two of them, that not a single one of their population, not their government, not their infrastructure, no one associated with Afghanistan and Iraq attacked America, attempted to send a missile into America. And yet we invaded both of those countries with the most powerful military in the world, not only broke those countries, but left hundreds of thousands of people dead. And we want to criticize Israel and stop their ability to defend themselves under these circumstances? I mean, there is, if you were to search through all of history, you wouldn't find a more hypocritical request or position than this one. Is it any wonder that God finds the United States of America despicable? Is there any wonder that he devoted an entire chapter, the 18th chapter of Isaiah, to condemning the United States of America and its behavior? Shut up. Shut your yap. Go home. Allow Israel to defend itself. Get out of their way. The statement by the United States goes on to say that, speaking to reporters on the South Lawn, the Obama administration reaffirmed its administration's support of Israel's effort to thwart rocket attacks by Hamas, but cautioned, "We don't want to see any more civilians killed." And so, how, pray tell, oh Obaminator, is Israel going to destroy rocket launchers and rocket storage facilities when those rocket launchers sit beside civilian apartments that the civilians won't leave because Hamas wants them killed? How, dear Obaminator, is Israel going to destroy the rockets themselves, which are in underground tunnels directly underneath Muslim homes that Hamas won't allow the women and children to leave? How, pray tell, Obaminator, should they protect themselves from the constant assault of rockets without killing civilians when the civilians are being used to shield the rockets. Oh, dear Obaminator, why don't you tell the truth? Why don't you just bow your back and say, you know, there is no reason for us to show any sympathy for the Muslims who are dying, who have chosen or have been directed by Hamas to provide human shields for these rockets. If they wish to sacrifice their bodies as shields for the rockets, so be it. That's their choice. There's nothing we can do about that. We ought not even try. If someone wants to devote their life to protecting an implement of death, let them. Good riddance. Why is it we can't say that? Hamas reiterated on Monday, yesterday, that today, I guess, is Tuesday, so been yesterday, that it would not stop fighting until several demands were met. Yeah, we're concerned about the demands of terrorists, including an end to the economic blockade imposed on Gaza by Israel and Egypt. Stupid. It's just amazing that someone can make that statement, and the journalist here, incapable of correcting it. There's no economic boycott. There's no economic blockade on Gaza being perpetrated by Egypt or Israel. There is a blockade against weapons, and obviously it's not working very well. The only reason that there are very set number of border crossings where trade is allowed to flow into Gaza. And by the way, it's not trade. Gaza doesn't make anything. They don't do anything. They're just net parasites. But the reason that these parasites have their shipments of food and medicine and other materials, since they don't make anything, inspected at the Gaza crossing into the Sinai and in the crossings through Israel as well as along the coast, is because what they want imported has nothing to do with economics. They want shipments of rockets. They want shipments of anti-tank rounds. They want shipments of guns and of bomb-making material. There is no economic sanction against Gaza. Gaza is a net parasite. And all of the funds that they need to then purchase food and other material for them to live is always allowed in, has always been allowed in. No different now than at any other time. What Gaza is protesting, what Hamas is protesting, is that Israel and Egypt are preventing it from amassing enough weaponry to destroy the civilian population of Israel. And when that is your condition for a ceasefire, can there ever be one? Why doesn't the world say, at that point, forget it? It's impossible. It's not even worth discussing. Let Israel continue to rid Hamas of all of its weaponry and take the leadership of Hamas away. Let them do it, because there is no way to capitulate on that. The world must understand that Gaza has decided to end the blockade by its blood and its heroism. Then let them. See how it works for them. What they're trying to do is win favor in the international propagandist debate. And they're doing a fine job, because the media is going right along with them, because there's not anybody in the worldwide media that has, as my friend IQ Al Rasuli would say, two grains of logic in their brains. Kerry met with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who is, like so many world leaders, grotesquely anti-Semitic, who is in the midst of shuttle diplomacy. Yeah, he just left Qatar, which is the primary gunrunner of the Islamic terrorist movement worldwide. And that is expected, which he never criticized, by the way, which is expected to take him to Jerusalem on Tuesday. Ban has been critical of Israel's air and ground offensive in Gaza, calling the violence atrocious, saying that Israel must do more to protect Palestinian civilians. Well, first of all, pal, there's no such thing as a Palestinian. And there are no innocent civilians in this case. And no country in the history of the world has done more to protect those who are non-combatants than Israel. Never. You're just a total and complete hypocrite, Mr. Moon. Yeah, it's getting old. It really is. It's just getting old that the world is so incapable of being just, moral, so opposed to being informed. This is the thing that really turned my stomach. And, you know, I'm almost getting to the point where I'm so disgusted by what I have to share with you each day that it's taking a toll on me personally. Kerry said the United States is committing $47 million in aid for Gaza. Oh, damn the United States. As I say, there's no wonder God hates this country so. The United States is going to pay $47 million to fund these fools. Now, keep in mind, the money the United States is providing Gaza, just like the 30-some-odd billion dollars the United States has committed to the Kiev thugs, that money is turned into weapons. That money is turned into training for those who wield the weapons. You could give them $1 billion and the people of Gaza would live no better. But they'd be far better trained and far better equipped. You know, it reminds me of the same mentality that we're seeing in Ukraine. The United States is having a conniption fit that the Russians may be providing defensive weapons to the Russians who don't want any part of the Kiev government. And yet the United States is providing tens of billions of dollars, including all forms of military assistance and military hardware and training to the thugs in Kiev who want to destroy, who want to annihilate, and are using their military to achieve that aim, the Russians in Donetsk. It's okay for the United States now to supply billions of dollars, but it's not okay for other nations to protect the people who are the victims of American spending. $47 million. Oh, we'll call it humanitarian aid. Don't you think for a moment that it's going to be used as food or medical care. 90% of that money will be used in weapons to kill Israelis. We're on the wrong side. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls has condemned the anti-Semitic violence that has broken out in France during protests against Israel's action in Gaza. Now, there's nobody in France that's protesting against the Hamas regime firing rockets into Israel, firing mortars into Israel, kidnapping and killing Israelis. But there are morons in France that are protesting against Israel's defense. Jewish-owned businesses and a synagogue were targeted in a suburb of Sarcelles, just outside of Paris. Shops were looted. That's what Muslims do. And 18 people were arrested as youths went on a rampage. Yes, that's what Islam inspires, is rage, thievery, during Sunday's protests, which had been banned by authorities The mayor of the community said the Jewish community was in fear. That's what terrorists do. Such an outpouring of violence had never been seen in the suburb before. The head of an umbrella group, CREF, that represents the French Jewish organization, says that the Jews were not just afraid. They were anguished. What's happened in the past few days is terrible. They're shouting death to Jews. They're attacking the synagogues. It's completely out of control. And that is Islam, my friends. Death to Jews. It's what the Quran says. It's what the Hadith proclaims. It's what Muhammad did. It is inseparable from Islam. Death to Jews. That's why so long as Islam exists, Islam will forever want to hunt down and kill Jews. This is not a situation that can be resolved with diplomacy. Religious individuals never, ever submit to diplomacy. Islam exists to hunt down and eradicate Jews. Death to Jews is their slogan in France. Welcome back to Shattering This. These called pro-Palestinian, well, since there's no such thing as a Palestinian, why don't we say these pro-Muslim rallies, anti-Israel rallies, anti-Jew rallies, also took place over the weekend in London, in Vienna, and in Berlin, where an Israeli tourist was attacked by demonstrators. Anti-Semitic slogans were chanted by some of the protesters in the German capital. Jewish community leaders have spoken of their shock at the explosion of evil and of violent hatred toward Jews. Before we welcome Glenn into the program, since Glenn is an individual who's had some very funny one-liners for this program, I'm going to share a one-liner with you from Benjamin Netanyahu that I want to nominate for the Statement of the Decade. Mr. Moon's comments in the Middle East is that you all need to start talking and recognize one another's grievances and resolve the grievances. Mr. Netanyahu asked, "What grievance can we resolve with Hamas? Their grievance is that we exist." I'm going to nominate that for top line of the decade. What grievance can we resolve with Hamas? Their grievance is that we exist. I guess all Jews can commit suicide and Hamas would be satisfied for about 30 seconds and then they would start their crusade against Shia Muslims because they exist. And then they would start their crusade against Christians because they exist. And then they would start their crusade against Hindus because they exist. And then they would start their crusade against atheists because they exist. And then they would ultimately annihilate themselves because they're just miserable. Hello, Glenn. How are you going to beat Netanyahu's comment? What grievance can we resolve for Hamas? Their grievance is that we exist.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, how about those Dodgers?
How about them Dodgers? Yeah. Oh, my. You know what? One of the things that changed the subject because we're about ready to go into sports and the news is that...
Oh, that's purely coincidence.
Is that, you know, I heard a talk show sports. When I'm out driving, I listen to sports talk because I just can't stand the commentary on the news that comes in talk radio because it's just also Republicans good, Democrats bad. Is the fact that if you're going to talk sports today, you can't talk baseball because too few Americans have an interest in baseball apart from their local team. So that Los Angelinos might care about their Dodgers. Well, they would if they could actually watch them on television. We get to see the Dodgers play about five times a year because, fortunately, ESPN does a few games and Fox has the rights to a few games, but the rest of them we can't see. Most Angelinos have actually become Angels fans. Mike Trout. I mean, it's fun. He's fun to watch, but I did. I actually did get to see them play two games over the weekend. They lost one. They won one over the weekend in St. Louis. And, you know, that was fun. You know, one of the things that was just amazing to me is that St. Louis is the Cardinals. Since you brought up them, they're Dodgers. St. Louis is routinely appraised as being the classiest franchise, the franchise that does it the right way. Yet they won the league championship series, the National League championship series against the Dodgers, because they took the best hitting by far, the best offensive player the Dodgers had, and they removed him by breaking his ribs, by throwing a fastball into his gut and breaking his ribs. That was Hanley Ramirez. And then they in the first game of this series, they take the current best hitting Dodger out of the lineup by beaning him. That would be Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
And then in the game, the final game, they bean Hanley Ramirez twice more, throwing a 97-mile-an-hour fastball at his head and then another one in on his hands. Hit him twice.
So this is why we need sports to teach our children character.
Oh, goodness gracious. They are absolute scumbags. And then Matt Holliday, the Dodgers pitcher, decided, it was Clayton Kershaw, best pitcher in the game, decided that the only thing to do was to throw at one of the Cardinals. And he did it the appropriate way. He took their biggest, strongest player, Holliday, and he threw at his bit behind. He hit him in his trunk. And Holliday decided that the appropriate play, since his team had already taken the best Dodger out of the game, was to slide into him and try to take...